Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Halt Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. He is Andrew P. Shea. Andy, it is a big week. It's Ohio State week.
Buckeyes, baby. 1-9. Let's just get it out of the way. Let's just say it.
Do you know what, Andy? You ever hear the expression, there's lies, damn lies, and statistics? And if you take a look around this whole, James Franklin versus Ohio State or Ohio State and Michigan or versus top 10 teams, well, guess what? Just about everybody in the country has those kind of records. And what I found fascinating is, do you know that Ryan Day does not have a good record against top five teams?
He does not.
Well, you know what? Nobody will, because the fact is, if the team you're playing is a top five team, they're either undefeated or only have one loss. So almost by definition, you lose to them. Because if you beat them, they probably wouldn't be a top five team anymore, Andy. So some of, yes, it's worth mentioning, but I think those numbers are, if you go to the Southeast Conference, and just about any coach versus Nick Saban in Alabama is going to have that kind of record.
So Penn State against Ohio State under James Franklin is 1-9. That's a hard, cold number. The reality is, I think they're probably closer to 4-6 or 5-5 than being 1-9. Competitively, as you think about the games over the 10-year period, man, there's at least two or three, maybe even four that you could see that could have gone the other way for Penn State. They haven't. That's the thing.
And you know what? I think that's more the story, Andy. It's not that you lose to Ohio State because Ohio State has been so good, so talented over those years. I think the bigger story is that there was more than one game where Penn State should have won double-digit leads in the fourth quarter, and they found a way to lose it. So I think they've actually played pretty well, pretty competitively. They should have won more games than they did.
Closer to 4-6 or 5-5 than 1-9 is the reality. Competitive-wise, that's just – they're not intimidated by Ohio State, and Ohio State, despite a talent advantage, generally doesn't outplay them. It generally doesn't look like last year, right? Like, that was the exception rather than the norm, so – let's expect the norm to return.
I believe will be the case. All right, we're going to talk more, obviously, about Ohio State. But before we get there, Andy, I wanted to set some time aside to talk about the quarterback situation at Penn State before we look forward to what they'll do with the quarterbacks against Ohio State. Let's look back last week. Drew Aller played really well in the first half. Without an egregious drop by Julian Fleming, he would have completed his first 10 passes. That first drive would have been different. The tone of the game, or at least the first half, would have been very different. I say that to start, but what I really wanted to do was get your take on Bo Prabhula's performance in the second half.
Yeah, so he was ready, right? Like, not just a bow package as part of the offense ready, Jimmy. He was clearly ready to guide this offense. It's funny you asked last week about, in our show, looking ahead, who's the starting quarterback after, if Drew Aller leaves for the NFL, which he will. And I'm like, it's Bo's job to lose, and Ethan Grunkmeyer's got to beat him out, right? Like, he's the incumbent. And now I think, all along. The interesting thing to me was that, ever since these two have gotten there, kind of, and, Drew splashed first because he won the backup job. But all along, James has said, Drew and Bo are very different quarterbacks. But in the end, he said they both have a capacity to be very productive in their own way. And kind of that showed up in spades Saturday afternoon in Madison, Wisconsin. Look, I watched Bo a lot in high school, so I knew the kind of sort of football player and quarterback he was. I used the word football player first for a reason. I was not surprised, right? Bo's older brother also played quarterback at Central York High School, and I think he went to Delaware. He was a better pure passer than his younger brother, right? Like, he was a better pure passer than Bo. Bo is the better quarterback, though. The kid's just got that intangible gamer it factor. He finds ways. He did it for 4 years in high school. That's not an accident. He wins, and he showed he was more than a threat than just his legs and his ability to run. But the bottom line was, he is a football player that has a knack to find a way to win and get done what needs to get done. That is what you saw on Saturday in spades. And I wasn't surprised. You know, it maybe got off to a little bit of a shaky start, maybe, but was I surprised at his overall performance? Not one little bit.
Well, a couple thoughts for me on this, Andy. First of all, in his high school career, what I thought was impressive was, I think of this kid as a winner. And what he did in high school, he took his team. It's a public school. They don't get kids in from other districts. He took them much further in the state playoffs than anyone ever had. They ended up losing to like a St. Joe's all-star team. Okay.
Yeah.
But he kind of carried his team to that point. He's a winner. And I think that's what we saw there, being able to do whatever it takes. And he's not just a running quarterback.
Nope.
He needed to get the jitters out. There were a couple little hiccups to start. And I think it may have taken that drive or two also for Andy Kotelnicki to say, okay, this is what we need to do with him. And they felt comfortable with him throwing the ball. He put the ball into a couple very tight spaces, Andy. He also showed that he can throw the ball on the run himself. He looks very good doing that. So it was very impressive to me. And the other part to this equation, Andy, is that backup quarterback. I had more than one person reach out to me saying, uh-oh, is this going to be Iowa all over again? I think it was in 21.
Yeah, no, that was never going to happen, because James isn't stupid, right? Like, you knew he would learn his lesson from that scenario. And, you know, they had integrated Bo into the offense more this year under Andy Kotelnicki. I think it was a little bit – he was juiced, right? Like, he wasn't nervous, but he was full of adrenaline early, right? I think the pick six – just kind of allowed everyone to breathe, right? That really helped. It's just like, okay, all right, now let's see what we can do. I think that really helped everybody. But this was in Bo's wheelhouse. This is Bo's wheelhouse. They're down, they're on the road, it's a tight spot. I'm like, oh, this kid's built for this. And he proved it.
Yes, he definitely is. And the other part to this, Andy, is, and you and I had talked about this, that they brought Drew Aller and Bo Prabula in the same recruiting class. And I want to be careful how I say this, because college quarterbacks now, they enter the transfer portal. If you look around at the Big Ten, okay, there are more transfer portal starting quarterbacks than non-portal quarterbacks. So to have a backup sticking around, it's almost as if it should be part of a team's strategy to bring in a backup quarterback or someone who's willing to sit for a couple years before getting that opportunity. Because the fact are, statistics tell you, not many quarterbacks anymore are willing to sit the way Drew has. This is now, this is Bo's third year of not starting.
So Bo Prabula is the exception to the norm in the modern sort of free agency, transfer portal, call it what you want, era of the quarterback, right? Like, they move around because they want to play. For Penn State, they had Bo Prabhula at hello. That's what, and I say that under the auspice of, yeah, he knew all along, like, okay, I know Drew Eller's coming in. I know I'm not a five-star quarterback. This is where I want to be. If I wanted to just play, I would go somewhere else. This is where I want to be, and this is what I want to do, and that's my choice. Excuse me, Jimmy. Nothing was going to knock him off that. Nothing. And he was okay waiting for this moment. And if Drew Eller's healthy this week and comes back, he starts against Ohio State. Guess what? That doesn't change anything for Bo, because this is where he wants to be, and this is what he wanted all along. I say that you had me. He's a you had me at hello guy. Nothing will change his opinion of Penn State, being a Penn State football player, and being a backup quarterback. It doesn't matter to him, because this is where he wants to be.
He definitely does. And I think, and I've talked about this before, from the very moment that both Drew Eller and Bo Prabhula came to Penn State the same year, by burning Drew Aller's red shirt the first year and preserving the red shirt for Bo, you have a situation where if things go as planned with your five-star quarterback, Drew Eller, he's going to go to the NFL after 3 years, okay, correct, Andy? And I don't think anything has happened to change our mind on that. He is going to be in this coming year's NFL draft. What that does is creates a scenario where Bo right now is fully prepared to take over the reins and still has 2 years of eligibility at his favorite team, dream school, Penn State.
Right, yeah, he's got 2 years potentially as their QB1. He saw it. He knew it. He's not, you know, this is what he wanted. It's playing out. What happened Saturday wasn't part of maybe a plan, but he knew it was a possibility all along. He was ready. It's not a surprise. Not a surprise.
Well, it was part of the plan as far as James Franklin's concerned to be ready if something happens to your QB1. We saw it a year ago, I guess it was against Rutgers, Andy, where Bo had to come in, and he did it again here against Wisconsin. And who knows, maybe he's going to have to do it against Ohio State also. All right, Andy, that's it for quarter one. Lots more to talk about. Stick with us. Every day is a great day to join us at Cafe 210 West to enjoy our daily drink specials. Mondays, it's the Cafe Tea Pitcher for $5. Tuesday, Smirnoff Pitchers for $7. Wednesday, Bacardi Pitchers are $7. And Thursdays, enjoy Cafe Tea Pitchers for $5. All week, we have half-off draft beer and cafe tea from 9 to 11 p.m. and 6 to 8 p.m. on Fridays. So get the gang together and come on down to Cafe 210.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Hulk Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. He's Andy Shea. I'm Jim Galante. This is quarter number two of our show. Before we get started, Andy, just a reminder to everyone, are you coming in for Whiteout Weekend against the Washington Huskies? That's on Saturday, November 9th. If you're coming in for the weekend, how about starting your weekend early on Friday night with a whiteout party? That's Friday, November 8th from 7 p.m. to 11 p.m. Brought to you by Penn State's collective, Happy Valley United. It's being held at the newly renovated Nittany Lion Inn. You can join Happy Valley United. There'll be Penn State football lettermen there, alumni, fans. Musical guests include the 80s cover band Velveeta. There's music. There's dancing. There's an open bar. Are you cheering for the open bar or for the 80s cover band, Andy?
I'm cheering for the 80s cover band, Jimmy.
They had me at the open bar, Andy. So, but that is a great way to kick off Whiteout Weekend again. Friday night, November 8th, 7 to 11 p.m. at the Nittany Lion Inn. If you want more information, get your tickets. Go to happyvalleyunited.com. All the information is there on how to get your tickets and all the other information. Sounds like a great time. All right, Andy. Forget the whiteout for a minute. We got to come back to the present. That's a couple weeks away. We talked in quarter one about the quarterback situation, right, where Bo Prabula came in, played really well, helping beat Wisconsin in Madison. Not necessarily the easiest thing in the world. But Drew Aller's injury was not the only one that happened. There were a couple more in fairly critical areas. One of them was deny Dennis Sutton, the defensive end, and Abdul Carter's running mate at defensive end, Andy.
Yeah, what, he played one snap in the third quarter, and he was like, he got hurt in the second quarter, tried to go in the third quarter, something they made a decision not to do with Drew Aller. Good decision, by the way. And he couldn't go. So, yeah, I mean, you're asking, if denied Dennis Sutton can't go, can Vano and Vilbert sort of, what does that look like? Can they fill a void, right? Like, look, denied Dennis Sutton, he's pretty special. I mean, you can ride that wave of your backups for a quarter or two, and Penn State did that, right? They were fine. But against an offense like Ohio State, with those receivers, pocket impact on Will Howard's going to play a role. Deny Dennis Sutton is a pocket impact guy. He's got, you know, the most quarterback hurries on the team, two of the 14 sacks this year. So, you know, if he's not able to go, and if he's not able to play at 100%, that will impact this game, Jimmy. Yeah, I just think it will, because it's Ohio State. Maybe any other game, maybe you can get by with it a little differently, but, you know, missing deny Dennis Sutton against the team also ranked in the top five, Ohio State, going to have an impact.
You know, Andy, yes. However, with that said, I think Penn State, with a couple names that you mentioned, Amin Vanover, Smith Vilbert, they are probably better prepared to withstand it. It doesn't mean they won't be affected by it, Andy, but I think it means it's not a killer type thing because of the depth. One other thing, you made me think of it, Andy, when you mentioned that he tried for a play in the second half, couldn't do it, came off, as opposed to with Drew Aller. What did happen with Drew Aller in the first half, and it didn't dawn on me until rewatching the game, he did stay in there after the play that caused the injury.
Correct.
And if you saw, it was a pass that was like, where in the world was he throwing the ball? And I didn't connect the two. I didn't connect the injury to that pass and that play until I watched the replay, was watching for the injury, and then said, oh, that may have been the reason for that one pass there, Andy.
I saw it right away. I knew he had been cracked and he had been hit hard. And it was, you could just tell, I could tell by his body language immediately when he got up that he was compromised, like uncomfortable and compromised. I saw it right away.
Well, you're just a better observer than I am, Andy. That's all there is to it.
You see it and you're like, you know, you just kind of cock your head and it's like, is he okay? Like that stung, that, you know, that impacted him. Is he okay? Is he not? And quickly we learned, you know, he was not.
Yeah. And that specific pass was a, gee, he's not okay kind of pass.
Plus he got hit.
Yeah. And I think also just, you know, on Drew Aller for a minute too, and social media, I know there's so much crap and it's a small percentage of people, but, you know, some of the people who he's not a gamer because he didn't play that second half. No, no, this is a kid who really wanted to play.
So I don't think the decision was his. Like, medically, James probably got information that told him, look, he can go, but he can't go at 100%. And I'm fairly certain this, James is like, I want you to go out, warm up. Medically, you're cleared. If you are not 100%, I don't want you gutting it out there, playing it any way, shape, or form. You feel anything in that knee and you're compromised at all when you go out and warm up, let me know. Tell me what's going on, because I am comfortable and confident going to Bo, and we're behind. I don't need a compromised quarterback trying to win this game for us. I need a quarterback that's healthy and whole. And the answer was no. I think it was James' decision. Like, he went out and warmed up. You saw they had a conversation. I think he said, I could do it. I could gut it out, but I'm not 100%. And James is like, that's it. You're not going.
Well, where I agree with you, I do believe the medical people must have cleared him to allow him to go out there with the brace, warm up.
Correct.
And I do think if he were close to ready to play, I just suspect he'd say, oh, coach, I'm good to go, you know.
Correct.
And I think this was, I wouldn't be surprised if James said, if you're compromised at all. But I believe it came down to Drew Aller's decision. If Drew had said, hey, I'm good to go, I think he would have gone out there. Maybe it would have just been for a series, and they may have found out he was compromised. But anyway, there was another injury, Andy. Anthony Donka, you know, right tackle, and it needed, again, depth becomes the issue, but they brought in Nolan Rucci. I'd say that two ways. They brought him in from the portal, and they brought him into the game.
It's the right side of the offensive line. Don't forget about Sal Wormley now, Jim.
Yep.
Come on. Everyone forgets about Sal. I'm a big Sal Wormley guy. I think both of them, right, they are sort of him. Anthony and Sal Wormley are both sort of week to week. They were questionable, but they were available for Wisconsin. Both tried to go. Neither one could go very much. I think both are still week to week and battling to be on the field. They're sort of like, we, you know, that situation. So you saw the entire right side of the offensive line was reserves. Nolan playing more, you know, as I watch him play, I come to realize that, okay, he transferred for a reason, but I think he came to Penn State a bit of a broken offensive lineman, like lacking confidence, belief in himself. And I still think they're still, you know, working to get him back to a point where he believes he's a good football player. He wasn't bad, right? There's no way he was bad against Wisconsin. He wasn't very good, but he didn't hurt them, right? Like, at the same time. So I think he's starting to get his sea legs as a, like, former five-star confident football player. I think that kind of, when he came to Penn State and landed here, he came here for a reason, and it was to help Penn State, but I think mostly it was to help him regain confidence in who he was and understand that, you know what, you're still a talented football player. And I still think he's figuring that out, but he was fine. He was just fine because he didn't hurt them. And I believe, because I watched him play in high school as well, he's good. He's just got to remember that he's good. But yeah, and, you know, Iwane was fine at right guard. The offensive line, and we'll talk about it in quarter four, it's a big deal for me, these two offensive lines in this matchup. But yeah, they both of those guys on the right side filled in just fine.
Well, I do think, though, it was Rucci who was beat, though, on the play where Aller got hurt.
Yeah, he got beat like two or three times, Jimmy. You're going to get beat occasionally, right? Like, that's why I say he's sort of working his way back. He's figuring it out. I'm not saying he's bad, Jimmy. That's what I mean.
I'm just saying, you know, it's funny. When you use the term, oh, he didn't hurt them. Well, if a quarterback ends up hurt, though, your starting quarterback, some may question that statement. I also wanted to point out, Andy, the depth going on. I think, you know, I mentioned that about Nolan Rucci getting beat, but The fact is that they have depth on their offensive line.
They do.
And on the defensive line, again, I mentioned Vanover and Smith-Vilbert, but I also wanted to do a shout out. You often talk about the defensive tackles and how well they've played.
Love them.
Where in the world did Alonzo Ford come from?
So Alonzo Ford transferred. He transferred from Old Dominion. Yeah,
I know that.
Right. But he was injured and didn't play last year. Like, he came for this year, right? Like, that's why he transferred from Old Dominion. Because when he came in last year, they still had all those defensive tackles. Well, none of them left.
Yes.
Fortunately, unfortunately. So it's now a crowded house, right? Zane Durant is building to getting ready to get paid by the NFL dollars and being drafted. That's what he's building himself up to, right? Like, that he's becoming that guy, right? You still got, you know, Devon J. Thomas. You still got Keziah Izzard. You still got Hakeem Beamon. Now you've got Alonzo Ford Jr. flashing, right? Deion Barnes, second year, defensive line coach. Might have been a controversial hire. I don't think so. He is earning his pay very well, right? Like, Alonzo Ford always had this high ceiling because he performed well at Old Dominion, right? He just missed all of last year, and it's a crowded house. But Deion Barnes is like, I can't not get this kid on the field. He has to play. So instead of four defensive tackles, they have five.
Nice luxury to have. All right, that's it for quarter two. Ask Andy coming up next. Every day is a great day to join us at Cafe 210 West to enjoy our daily drink specials. Mondays, it's the Cafe Tea Pitcher for $5. Tuesday, Smirnoff Pitchers for $7. Wednesday, Bacardi Pitchers are $7. And Thursdays, enjoy Cafe Tea Pitchers for $5. All week, we have half-off draft beer and cafe tea from 9 to 11 p.m. and 6 to 8 p.m. on Fridays. So get the gang together and come on down to Cafe 210.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Hall Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number three. That means it's time to ask Andy. We will take your questions for Andy. And if you want to send in your question, just download our app, Keystone Sports. Wherever you get your apps, Keystone Sports, you'll see the Ask Andy button, and away you go. One quick note, Andy, you finished up quarter number two talking about defensive line coach, but Penn State is building some really nice position coaches, and it's paying off. You mentioned Deion Barnes, defensive line, Troutwine with the offensive line, at running back, the DBs, safety, cornerback. We're seeing the end result of a pretty good coaching staff, Andy.
Quarterback coach, first-year quarterback coach, doing very well. Look, running backs, Jawan Sider, one of the best in the country at his job, right? Terry Smith, defensive backfield, corners, one of the best in the country quietly at his job. Those are long-term guys. The more recent, yeah, Troutwine, he's been there a while, came in with great promise. Showing up in spades now, right? Like, rocky start, you couldn't see it, and you were like, well, do you really have to wait to get your guys in place? Well, once he got his guys in place, look what it looks like now, Jimmy. So you are 100% correct.
All right, let's get to our questions.
Sure.
Let's start with Patrick in Connecticut. He says, is the fifth seed in the playoffs better spot than to be in the 1-4 spot? Yes, 1-4, you get a bye week, but that fifth seed gets you a home playoff game against the group of five team. Then it's next round, they get to play the worst Power Four champ, perhaps from the Big 12. Seems to me that the fifth seed might have an easier path in the playoffs, plus added revenue from a home playoff game. Andy, I'm going to start out with this one. You're shaking your head, but Patrick, you are right.
Jimmy, you and Patrick are wrong.
Go ahead.
You don't want to give anybody an opportunity. If you get a free pass and a free week off, you take it in spades, Jimmy. You don't want to play in the first week. You don't want to be fifth instead of fourth. You want to be fourth, not fifth. You don't. I know it's a group of five team. No, I don't want to play if you have to, yeah, obviously, but in a scenario, which do you want? I want 1 through 4 every time, twice on Sunday. I don't care who the opponent is at 5. Don't care.
I get your point, Andy, but here's the thing. If I could get the 5th seed without having to play the conference championship game, so I miss that and an opportunity to lose and perhaps lose my seeding also. What also happens is maybe I'm just such a fan of the home playoff game too, yeah. Andy. But I think what you got to think about is the second round.
No.
The group, the team that finishes fourth that you would play if you're the 15 is going to be, you know, maybe it's the Big 12 winner or the ACC winner. I'm thinking that second round, if you finish first or second, you've got to play the 7 or 8 seed, which is probably a really good Southeast Conference or Big Ten team. I kind of like the 5th seed. I understand the argument from both sides and just getting a bye automatically to the quarterfinals. I get it, Andy. But could it be an easier road? Yeah, it could be. All right. Let's go to our good friend Jimmy in Forest City. He says, Andy and Jim, I like that Jimmy includes me in his questions, Andy. But anyway, if Ohio State beats Penn State and Indiana wins out, with the other undefeated teams, Miami, BYU, Pitt, and the bias towards the Southeast Conference, do you see a scenario where a one-loss Penn State could miss the playoffs?
No, absolutely not. Not a chance. Not a chance that you cannot disavow one of your Power Two conferences that bad if you're the College Football Playoff Committee. You can't say one of your blue bloods, and Penn State's a blue blood, and whether that's fair or not, that's the truth. In one of your Power Two conferences, it's clear, SEC, Big Ten, Power Two. You can't turn your back on a one-loss team like that. You can't. You simply can't. It's a good question. I don't think you can do it to one of your blue bloods in your Power Two conference. You can't.
I know there's a scenario where you could have a whole boatload of teams with just one loss. However, well, first, one of the flaws in Jimmy's question, he says, Ohio State beats Penn State and Indiana wins out. If Indiana wins out, that means they'll have beaten Ohio State. And they will have two losses.
Yeah.
And so that's part of it. Miami, BYU, Pitt that he mentions, Pitt has to play Clemson, okay? And then if they win, they still have to go through a conference championship game.
Correct.
So some of this stuff, mentioning both Miami and Pitt, that would mean two teams from the ACC, not necessarily going to happen. What I will bring up, because Dustin Schutte, our Big Ten guy, he brought this up, Andy, was the possibility of Indiana maybe being left out with one loss.
Maybe.
Because they will have zero quality wins.
Correct.
They're out of conference schedule. You know, say what you will about Penn State playing West Virginia, but that was a power conference team. Indiana played nobody. And with one loss, that will mean they have lost to Ohio State. I think there might be, you know, how competitive will they be with Ohio State will be part of the conversation. I do think stuff will clear itself out a little bit. And Penn State with one loss would probably get the benefit out of the doubt against an Indiana team, an ACC one-loss team, or a Big 12 one-loss team. All right, let's go to Steve in Columbia, who says, he's not asking us if we want to cut off a toe for a national championship, Andy. Ryan Day may be the new James Franklin. Day went out and got a bunch of speedy athletes, but neglected the lines. Franklin kind of did the same initially. James has figured out and big time bulked up both lines and has two great coaches for the lines. Steve must have been reading our mind there. I honestly believe we have an advantage on both lines this week. Buckeyes are not all that. However, we do need to deny Dennis Sutton, though. Am I wrong?
No, no. We'll talk about it more in quarter four. Steve, you've got it. You know, in the trenches, if deny Dennis Sutton plays and is healthy, right? If he can play and is healthy, Penn State has a double advantage, right? Ohio State's offensive line, they've got issues right now. We'll address that more in quarter four, but he's 100% right. In the trenches, whole and healthy right now as it stands with deny Dennis Sutton, Penn State's got a two-way advantage that is significant in the trenches. But they are significantly behind at some skill position.
Yeah. Ohio State, and we'll talk about it more with the wide receivers. I think Steve and you are correct, Andy, that, you know, Penn State, we talked about it last segment. They're getting better in the trenches along both lines. But I think the idea with Ryan Day that he's all about the specialty people, I think part of the reason why Chip Kelly was brought in was to fortify the running game. They've lost the last 3 years to a Michigan team that will just grind you out.
Shove the ball down their throat.
You know, they had a great running back in Travion Henderson, and they brought in a second one, Andy. This is Ryan Day trying to be really good in the trenches. He's often had that great defensive line. I think he wants that on the offensive line. Whether he has that or not, especially with the injuries, that's where the question comes in. All right, let's hit Frank and Tyrone, who says, with all the potential craziness that would come from conference tiebreakers, do you see the conferences going back to divisions?
No, that's a good question. I don't, because the conferences are so, the top two are so big now, right? Like, I think you hurt your overall opportunities by limiting yourself inside of divisions. You know, I mean, and honestly, any division in the Big Ten would include Penn State playing Michigan and Ohio State every year again. And we just know what, and not just Penn State, but we know what that looks like. We know Alabama and Georgia won't play each other, right? They can't do it because they have to continue to open themselves up as deep as they are to have a better opportunity to get as many teams in the college football playoff field as possible. They want as many of those 12 spots as they can get their hands on. Divisions, I think, would limit them on that front significantly. So I don't think they can go back. I really don't. I don't think they can, especially the SEC and the Big Ten. They would be actually inherently hurting themselves.
Well, Andy, I understand Frank's logic, and it makes a lot of sense. Yeah. I mean, you know, when you have an 18-team or 16-team conference, it actually does make more sense to split them up into divisions.
It does.
And perhaps it's even like instead of, you know, two divisions, maybe even four. So you play the three other teams within your division, and you kind of rotate the other divisions. And with the number of teams, it's probably less likely to run into what you did in the Big Ten, where you had Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State in one side and nobody in the other.
The JV division, right.
Yeah. You know, it would be because there's just so many good teams. You're adding Oregon and USC to the mix. So it would change things. Now, the Big Ten was just inherently wrong, Andy, when they set up their divisions with Penn State, Ohio State, and Michigan in the same division. They were just plain wrong. And that was them succumbing to, well, we have to have Michigan and Ohio State play the last game and be in the same division.
Correct.
That's on the Big Ten conference. What I wonder, Andy, is, and this goes more for the Southeast Conference than the Big Ten, if they got to do a better job of scheduling in this scenario. You know, in the NFL where they kind of do, if you finish first, you play more first place teams. I'm wondering if they need to do more than that, Andy. in the Big Ten, and this will spill over into the next segment, Andy, where I'll let you respond, because that's what we always do now. But I think the Southeast Conference needs to do more of that. The Big Ten, not so much. We'll pick up that conversation when we come back.
Every day is a great day to join us at Cafe 210 West to enjoy our daily drink specials. Mondays, it's the Cafe Tea Pitcher for $5. Tuesday, Smirnoff Pitchers for $7. Wednesday, Bacardi Pitchers are $7. And Thursdays, enjoy Cafe Tea Pitchers for $5. All week, we have half-off draft beer and cafe tea from 9 to 11 p.m. and 6 to 8 p.m. on Fridays. So get the gang together and come on down to Cafe 210.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Hulk Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello, and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. He's Andy, I'm Jim. It's the fourth quarter of our show. Andy, as has become tradition, whatever the last question is in the Ask Andy segment, it spills over. And the last question from Frank from Tyrone was about should they split the conferences into divisions again? I understand where he's coming from, but it ain't going to happen. But I brought up the point of could they do better at playing the better teams against each other? And just in the Big Ten, Ohio State plays Penn State, Michigan, and Oregon. Oregon gets Ohio State and Michigan, and I don't know if they have USC or not. With Penn State, I know it worked out well for Penn State to not play Oregon this year, but the feeling always was that USC would be very competitive, and they played them. In the Southeast Conference, though, there's such a disparity within the conference of who's playing tough games and who isn't.
So you're talking about strength of schedule,
yes,
right? Like, that means you have to go year to year, which the NFL does, right? Like, I think you need more time in the 12-team college football playoff scenario. Remember, this is year one of what I will call open seasons. It's year one in the Big Ten. And college football hasn't structurally set itself up to be year to year yet. Something tells me the Power Two conferences might be going there. That's why I don't think you can go back. You can't go back.
Well,
you cannot go back.
I think, Andy, trying to do the balanced schedule thing where you play the good teams play more good teams, you'd probably need to do it on a two-year cycle so you get a home and away. But let's face it, if you're in the Big Ten, you know Oregon, Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan are going to be good over the next 2 years. Yes, you're going to get an outlier like Indiana occasionally, but as a rule, that's not going to happen very often, Andy.
Last point, this is year one of the expanded open season, right? We need more information. Is it broken? What do we know? What we don't know? We're not even done yet with year one. We don't know. So you have to learn more to see if it is broken, if there needs to be solutions and fix. But the last scenario, particularly for the Big Ten, will be that divisions. Can't do it. Can't do it. Not right now. Never.
All right, Andy, let's get to Penn State versus Ohio State coming up this week.
Yes.
Ohio State, you know, I'll be honest with you. I saw a bit of them against Oregon, kind of late at night for this guy, Andy. And then I saw Ohio State, Nebraska. Did not look too good in these two. Oregon, you know, is a really good team, ranked number one. I guess my question is, is this Ohio State team the team we saw against Nebraska?
So here's what I'll say. They took a good shot from Nebraska, right? After the Huskers were embarrassed by Indiana the week before, they gave Ohio State a fair and honest shot. They lost to Oregon in a shootout in a 50-50 game, right? They lost. One team had to win, one team had to lose. That was a 50-50 game. This one, they were the favorites in. They took a good shot from Nebraska, much like Penn State took a good shot from USC, right? Like USC, that was USC's best shot. Ohio State got Nebraska's best shot. So I think the Nebraska win is actually a quality performance win because They didn't expect to get a good shot from Nebraska, and they got more than they bargained for, and they still found a way to win. They are still, Jimmy, a $13, $14, $17 million, put whatever. They are still a very talented, built on, you know, NIL money, transfer portal. They are a talented powerhouse. Do not forget that. They've got issues, but they are a talented powerhouse.
Yes, Andy, and they definitely are. Some of the things that we saw against Nebraska that stuck out to me. Now, first of all, they've have Ohio State has some injuries along their offensive line. Okay. Yes. They had to go to a backup tackle. They then he got injured. So they shuffled the deck a little bit, moved someone out to tackle, another guy in. So their depth at offensive line is being tested. And they weren't able to run the ball versus Nebraska, which really struck me. But it caused me, Andy, to take a look to say, gee, has this been an issue all season?
No.
Judkins and Henderson, the two running backs, averaged 6.4 and 7.2 yards a carry, respectively. So that Nebraska game is probably the outlier. What I will point out, though, in comparing it to the Penn State-USC game, Penn State had to go out to USC. And I believe USC at their best is a better team than Nebraska is.
Agreed.
So Penn State did that on the road. So I think there's a difference. It does lead me to wonder if this Ohio State team, though, might be just a little bit vulnerable.
They certainly are, particularly as you addressed along the offensive line. But if you wonder what they look like healthy and whole, go look at Iowa and just watch a quarter. That was when their offensive line was whole and healthy, right? Like, and that's what they want to be offensively. They can't do that now. So, and in some respects, Jimmy, both offensive lines are mixing and matching a little bit with injury issues, right? Ohio State's lost more for the season type than Penn State has, right? Clearly. But overall, it's what is your offensive line depth looking like for you? Because both teams are sort of trying to mix and match here. And to me, I think that's a little bit of a hidden key to this. You know, we talked about Penn State's offensive line depth in the preseason, Jimmy. Remember, we talked about it as sort of, don't forget about that. This is going to be important, and it might have to show up, and if it does, it will, because we believed it was in really good shape. Guess what? It's in really good shape. Guess what? Ohio State's is not, right? Depth-wise, so, right, full strength against Iowa, they were dominant, right?
Well, hold on, Andy, one point. You know, that Ohio State-Iowa game at Ohio State was 7-0 at halftime.
Right, but they were running the game. It looked like a 28-0 game wrapped up in a 7-0 score. The die was cast, right?
But I think the Ohio State was the much better team. And I think we got to be careful to not go overboard with one game like, you know, Ohio State's performance against Nebraska.
Correct.
But I also want to ask about, Penn State going into the game, Andy, with – the question mark at quarterback. Now, I think the surest bet going for this week was James Franklin's going to tell us nothing, okay? And I usually get on him, I think, with the injuries. He plays coy way, way too much. However, this week, I get it. I'm not telling anybody anything. Even when the media comes in, I'm not showing anything. Yep. Drew Aller's going to be sitting out somewhere. And I would even put Drew Aller on the availability report. I'm going to put him under questionable, okay? Yeah. I don't want Ohio State to know until the team's offense runs onto the field whether Aller's playing or not.
This is James's wheelhouse, Jimmy.
Yes.
Right? Like injuries and not talking about them, sort of they're his thing. He's pretty darn good at it. Bob and weave, dance and evade, and reveal nothing. This week was, is, and should be, and will continue to be airtight on lips on the front, without a doubt.
How difficult does this game become if Drew Aller's not available?
It's a difference because, to me, I think because Drew Aller's, if I look at it, it gives Penn, if Drew Aller's starting and playing and healthy, he's the better quarterback, right? He's the better quarterback. Bo Pribula is a backup quarterback. Yeah, okay, he performed well last week. That shifts. If it's Will Howard against Bo Pribula, Will Howard's the better quarterback. So to me, that's as simple as it gets, Jimmy. Will Howard's better than Bo. Bo can play. He's a gamer. But if Drew Aller's playing, guess who has a quarterback advantage, in my opinion? Penn State. Drew Aller's a better quarterback right now.
Do you think, Andy, especially if Drew Aller's available to play, can play, do you think perhaps we'll still see a little bit more of Bo than we normally would? Kind of like that. No, you're shaking your head now.
No. If Drew's healthy and playing, he's your quarterback. That's your game plan. You go with what you've been doing. You don't change it just because of a maybe. You don't change it because of a maybe. You let the maybe happen, and then you adjust fire, right? So if Drew's healthy and can play, Andy's game plan will be Drew Aller's our quarterback, and this is our plan against Ohio State, and this is how Bo's going to be involved. That's not changing.
Okay, let's assume that Drew Aller is healthy and available and ready to go. Do you see this Penn State team this year any differently going up against Ohio State than they were the last couple of years?
No, maybe a little bit. Drew Aller's a better passer, right? That's the difference. That's the biggest difference I see in my book. The wide receiver's the same. Tyler Warren, okay, you know, he's a stud. They're going to have to account for him. Do I see it differently if Drew Aller's playing and is a starting quarterback? Yeah, he's a better passing. He's a better passer. He's much better. He's a much better quarterback. That's the difference. If he's not playing, other than that, it's still the same for me, Jimmy.
Well, I look at this offense differently than I did last year against Michigan, against Ohio State, where the offense really, it was the least of the four units on the field.
Yep.
You know, against those two teams. So, all right, Andy, giving you just a little more than a minute. Need your prediction. And yes, yep. You can differentiate if Drew Aller is healthy or not.
No.
Need prediction, need bold prediction.
Yeah. So, prediction, I think Ohio State's defense is the key for me, right? A tight game in Nebraska, they still didn't allow 300 yards of offense. They clamped down like a vice late. They're number two in the nation behind Texas. They allow fewer than 12 points a game. And Penn State's struggling to score, particularly in the first half. It's Ohio State's offense looks stressed right now. Like, why is that? I don't know, but they just look like it. Like, they look like they're under the gun. They're pressing. Their offensive line is patchwork. I still am going to pick Ohio State 24-20. They have the better skill position players across the board, top to bottom. My bold prediction is, It's an Ohio State one. Will Howard will be the difference maker. He has to be. And he will throw two or more touchdown passes and rescue Ohio State if they're going to win. And I picked him to win, so that's my bold prediction.
All right. Andy, you know, I find it hard picking against Penn State, but I think there is a difference with this offense than we've seen before. I'm going to pick the same number, 24-20. But I'm going to say Penn State wins it. I think home crowd, a lot of pressure on Ryan Day. Andy, that's the last word. Thank you all for listening. Join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Every day is a great day to join us at Cafe 210 West to enjoy our daily drink specials. Mondays, it's the Cafe Tea Pitcher for $5. Tuesday, Smirnoff Pitchers for $7. Wednesday, Bacardi Pitchers are $7. And Thursdays, enjoy cafe tea pitchers for $5. All week, we have half-off draft beer and cafe tea from 9 to 11 p.m. and 6 to 8 p.m. on Fridays. So get the gang together and come on down to Cafe 210.